Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 49 of ZK Live. It is Sunday evening, not Sunday night. We just finished ZK finishing school, FPE training weekend. Because of that, I'm doing an early live so I can go spend time with my family. It was my mom's birthday. We're doing a birthday celebration. She turned 60, so it's a big deal. So it's 4:30 here. We're going to be doing the live. We're going to keep it short, under an hour. I didn't have a lot of time to get a lot of questions from people because I posted this so late. I wasn't sure I was going to do it. My allergies are killing me. I've been blowing my nose all day. But man, what a weekend. We had another super successful ZK finishing school. It was unbelievable. Brushwork Design was there. Yes, buddy. I miss you, Todd. We had a great, great time. Tons of information was shared. We had some really cool people. We got to put some new states up on our state, all the different states people have come from. So we had people from Minnesota. I'm gonna forget somebody, but Minnesota, Wisconsin, New Hampshire. Where else? Oh, my brain is fried. Guys, long weekend, lots of information. We had from people from all over, and they're varying size companies from 10 to 12 painters, guy from New York, down to single operations. We had a couple guys who are one man guys, and then we had one guy who is a two person company, smaller companies, medium sized companies, and we were able to, I think, add value to everybody. John Gregoris was there. He just signed in. It was just an awesome weekend of knowledge sharing. We're getting pretty good at this. This was our third FPE training weekend. So we kind of have it down to a science. I teach the spray section. Phil teaches brushing. And then Dan usually teaches the prep. But Jessica Allred from Alternative Finishes, who's still downstairs with Phil. They're working on some samples for a project we have coming up. Jessica taught prep. Anyone of you who do know her, she's an absolute gem in this industry and one of the most talented painters I've ever met. So it was a huge honor to have her here. And it was awesome for those people to be able to be taught from someone with the mindset that Jessica has. And her approach to painting is so unique and so beautiful. Really lucky. We had a ton of fun. So we went pretty deep into brushing, spraying, and prep work. I went into all the different types of spray guns, the CFMs, PSIs, why use a pressure pot, why not. It was really good to be able to give people fundamentals. We're getting better and better at teaching the fundamentals. AMK painting, Aaron, he was there this weekend. Just to be able to train fundamentals I'm going to stumble over words. My brain is not working, but when we train fundamentals and we teach fundamentals, you can use them in all situations. So I think I hope a lot of what we taught is not just how do you apply gloss work in a multi-million dollar project. That's not what this was about. It's like, how do you achieve predictable results in high stakes environments, which essentially every project should be a high stakes environment. I don't want to let my client down. I want to deliver the finish I said I would in the timeline that I said I would, in the most white glove positive customer service experience I possibly can. So it is high stakes because if I let them down in any way, that is not fulfilling the ZK brand. That's not doing what we want for our clients. So there's a lot of value that comes from being able to show up on site and have confidence that you can execute to the level that you've promised. There's universal truths to doing that. And that's a lot of what I was trying to teach in my spray course is how do we go about doing things so that when we show up on site to work, we've done everything in our power, at least, to provide a high quality result. Sometimes things get in the way. Sometimes we get thrown off, but if I know I've done everything I had control over, now I have sinus allergy stuff, and I didn't take a Claritin today, and I should have. But it was, and then we had a long day of all hands on training. We had awesome lunch from Tallulah's Taqueria. We had breakfast sandwiches, and then we went to my country club that I recently joined, and we got a private room there. Had unbelievable food. John Leahy, the owner of Fine Paints of Europe, wined and dined everybody. Awesome human being. He's there to support painters, and I think everyone at Fine Paints training probably, I hope everyone understood and could see how genuine John is, and how genuine sort of FPE is. Like Sherwin Williams, on there's not a single owner. It's a publicly traded company, but like I'm not gonna meet the owner of Sherwin Williams, and he's not gonna come take us out to dinner, and he's not gonna advocate for us. So to have the owner of the paint company we buy our paint from, like, show up, be a personal person. All he cares about is that his painters do well, right? Because if we're doing well, he's doing well. And so to be able to develop a relationship with the owner of the paint company, and a lot of, you know, everyone sees Fine Paints of Europe and they think about high gloss. And they think, you know, so I think what this weekend is, a lot of it was about as well, is like demystifying Fine Paints of Europe. Like, it's just paint at the end of the day. Like, it's paint. And they happen to have an amazing line of high quality paints, from water-based flat paint for walls that's unbelievable, to matte paint for walls. The wall paint's the easiest thing. You know, you can switch out your paint to wall paint, use it, and clients love it. And it doesn't cost a lot of extra money, and it sure doesn't require any new equipment. So we were able to show people those kinds of things. And but that dinner last night was the first time we couldn't do it at a restaurant, and because of COVID stuff, it was getting tougher and tougher. So to have it at the club, we were able to go outside, smoke cigars, talk shop outside by the fire. Like, it was amazing. Super grateful for all the people who came. I thank them. We signed their cool certificates and gave them the swag. And now our community at ZKFS just got a little bit bigger. And, because, you know, I started this thing, and like, I might be the face of it, but it's a bunch of people now, and it's the people in our community that makes it special. So really, really awesome. I'm happy to not be wearing a face shield. My head was starting to hurt. We were very cautious with COVID. Everybody came with a negative COVID test. We all wore face shields if we weren't eating, and we tried to be as safe as possible, because the stakes are too high, and the last thing we want to do is not follow regulations or take it too lightly. In the past, we had sort of, we had face shields. We didn't wear the face shields every moment of every time, but this time it was, and going forward, we're taking the COVID stuff a lot more seriously. My state in Rhode Island is cracking down even more to try to reduce cases. So I was really happy. I'm really proud that we were able to have an event like this and do it safely, to the best of our ability, but you know, we're still getting stuff done. Like, we don't have to stop our lives. We just have to alter the way we live them a little bit. And if that's the cost of doing business, then, you know, I've come to terms with it at this point. EAM Custom Painting just came in. Eric was there this weekend. Awesome. So we had two certified FPE certified painters this weekend, which was awesome. The third, there's now been three certified painters here, and it's cool to talk to guys who have never used a paint, haven't used it a lot, guys like EAM who are using a lot of it, and everyone can share their perspective and their ideas, and if this community and the sharing was huge. I'm just so grateful to be part of the whole thing and to be able to add value. And I feel very confident, especially after this third one, that we're adding a lot of value and it's worth people's time to come out. I'll let them tell you that stuff if you want to. We make posts on this so you can contact people who are in it. But we sent out the questionnaire at the end. Like, I really want to know how we can be better all the time, because, you know, that's what it's all about. So I have a few questions. We're going to answer some questions. And then we haven't done a shop tour in a while. So actually, you know what? Why don't we do the shop tour first? And then I'll come back and answer questions. I have one question. I know I put this up late, so I'll answer the question. I'll continue to ramble. Feel free to ignore me or ask questions. It's even better if you ask poignant questions that I could get really deep and think about and give you unbelievable, eloquent answers. Man, dude, I'm in rare form. You know, when you get so tired, you just get like goofy and like out of it. That's where I'm at. I gave everything. I gave it all this weekend. And it was a tremendous feeling to be done. And like the third time we've done this now, it's like, I know what we're getting into. Like, I know what to expect. I know the pitfalls, the things to do better. Let's stay on time. We had this, I had a clipboard in front of me, Carney printed out, that had the itinerary on it. And I was like, oh, it's 1 o'clock. We got to move to the next thing. And having that schedule, that was a Nick Slavic note, which is awesome. Nick Slavic, thank you for the note. He came and audited the class the first time and gave me a bunch of notes to be even better. Pristine Mountain Painting, come to ZK Finishing School. I'll give you a huge class, in-depth class on it. I am considering, I'm getting so many people asking me to do an online, take the classes and post them online and sell them online. Sell online classes. I have been very hesitant. Carney, that is right. Carney just put the prices for the classes. That is all meals included. You just have to find lodging. We have a nice hotel we have a deal with, so you can get hotels. I believe December might be booked, or there's might be one more spot left in December. But sales and marketing class has, I think, two spots left in it as well. What we are doing now going forward is we are putting the sales and marketing class on a Thursday, Friday, and then on Saturday, Sunday is FPE training class. So if you wanted to come to both, you could do it in one trip. That I'm shout out to Chad from PCA. He connected those dots for me. So a ZK class, what to expect? You're going to get... Oh man, the alarm's going off. They set off the alarm and did they leave? I hope they didn't leave. Well, 1 second. I'm back. I had to take the alarm off. Luckily, I can do it from my phone because my nerdy IT guy set up my alarm to connect to my phone. I can unlock the front door. Tremendous. Everyone should have an IT guy. I never knew. But ZK Finishing School FPE training is very hands-on, very in-depth of coatings, application, prep, brushing, spraying, air control, wall paint. Why FPE? Because I think a lot of people have this, like, there's a mystique around FPE that sort of scares some people away or it makes people hesitant to try it. And, oh, it's a more expensive paint. And so they shy away from it. And I would encourage people to not. I think it is a powerful, if you care about craftsmanship, it's an easy sell in your company. Honestly, it's not, you don't have to do $4,000 to $6,000 entry doors with gloss like we do. And that's what we were teaching people this weekend is like, even if you want to use gloss, there's a $900 gloss door that makes the whole neighborhood go nuts, right? If you're in a market that people don't want to spend that kind of money they spend for our doors and the kind of hours that go into it, you can get a great product out of a $900 entry door. And it will spread like wildfire and people will think you're unbelievable and amazing because the paint is super high quality. It doesn't have to be a mirror finished piece of art. You know, so you're going to learn how to make how FPE can become a key part of your business. It changed my business completely. Send an email to zkfinishingschool@gmail.com. And I will talk to you this week. I have to look at the schedule. December might be full or there might be one more left. We're very on top of the COVID stuff. So we had someone who was not feeling well on their way, getting ready to leave to come here. And I'm so grateful that they were open and just said, look, I'm not feeling well. I don't want to risk other people getting sick. I'm not going to come to this school. Can we work something out? And of course, you know, we're going to just have him come to December and it's all good. No problem. We don't want people getting sick. I know I sound sick. It's my allergies. I'm not actually sick. I was sick last week and that's why I took a COVID test. But that's why I did not do the podcast last week because I was not feeling well. And I was resting like crazy because I was so afraid I was going to be sick for this weekend. So I slept like a crazy person and it was awesome. Yeah, but Mikey, you have a problem and we can help you with that, Mikey. Mike from Wet Paint likes to do perfect work, but we talk about it finishing school a lot about, and Jessica's the queen of this, giving clients what they want. I am in the painting business to give clients what they want, not give clients what I want. You know, giving clients what I want does not pay the bills. And it might scratch my ego for a minute, but I did that. And eventually you'll realize, oh, wait a second. My ego might have been fed for these short amounts of time, but my bank account is drowning. It's not doing very well. So a big piece of finishing school is helping people to understand that what you see on my Instagram, what you see on Shoreline's Instagram and the other guys that are doing it at the level that we are, it does not mean that you have to try to do that if you're in a market where it can't bear it. And it doesn't mean that doing a door for $900 isn't an amazing door that all your clients are going to love. Like, they're not mutually exclusive. And I think we definitely, we got some good feedback this weekend of people who were relieved to find out, that if you don't hold yourself to standards that people aren't willing to pay for. Make people happy. My job is to make clients happy. It's all of our jobs. That's why we're in business. That's how you make money, is if clients are happy and budgets and expectations are met. But that's just my opinion. So Christopher K. Wise asks a question. Mirrored ceiling. How is billing handled on jobs like this? At this point, it seems more like an art. We give flat rate pricing. Like we give hard numbers on our gloss projects. That project we just did in Boston had some issues that, you know, changed that a bit. Like the waiting in line for elevators and stuff. That changed a little bit, but the actual work, we have it down to as close to a science as you can. We've spent a lot. When you cut people who came to finishing school, were like, what, you've spent all this time to figure out all this? I'm like, yeah, I was a crazy person for many years, and I spent a lot of my life devoted to learning coding application and obsessing on spray equipment and this and that and blah, 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 blah. And that's why we started the school, to be able to impart that and save people a lot of time and a lot of trial and error and help people elevate their game. But at this point, no, we're generally using square foot pricing of wall space or ceiling space. Or we have a coefficient that we multiply our cabinet doors and drawers and panels by. And those numbers come from doing it a lot, tracking your numbers and figuring out what it costs. And I guarantee you, the first time you try to do a gloss ceiling or gloss room, you're going to massively underbid it. But you almost have to, because no one's going to pay you full price if you've never done one. You just have to step your way up, in my experience. That's how I did it. But we are I definitely have it down to a coefficient that we charge, we multiply. And I might move it. It might be 40 a square foot. It might be 60 a square foot. It might be 100 a square foot if I'm doing 3 square feet. You know, what I don't like, each project we look at what our efficiency is going to be, where will it be inefficient, what will our costs look like, and then I can generally put a square foot number to it, and that makes things easier. But you can't get square footage pricing until you've done a lot and tracked the numbers a bit to kind of know what does it actually cost to get this stuff done. And then obviously if it's in perfect shape, that coefficient will be a lower number. If it's in really bad shape, it'll be a higher number. Honestly, a lot of times if it's white or dark can change the price, because white is a very much more forgiving. It won't change the price much, but it's a thing that definitely makes black, the darker colors are harder. But yeah, it comes from practice, which is a lot of what we talked about this weekend, is do it on a sample board in the shop before you ever go try it. And if you make a mistake, I think I figured it out. It's like, it almost costs $1,000 per drip. If I get a drip in a finish coat on a gloss door, it cost me about $1,000 to fix that. With sanding out, respraying, you can, here's a fun challenge. If you've been able to get rid of a Fine Paints of Europe Hollandlack Brilliant drip with sanding it and putting one more coat on, you are a hero. You win a huge prize. Send me a message. But I've tried a lot of things, and in my experience, if you get a drip in your final coat of Hollandlack Brilliant, you cannot just simply sand it out and put another coat on. You're going to have to build up. You're going to have to spray another coat, even if it's localized to that area, after you sand. Because it'll look smooth. It looks perfect. You can sand out the drip where it's like, oh, that's, the drip is gone. The problem is you go to put gloss over the top and you will see that outline of where that drip was. You just will, and that curtain. So the answer is you have to spray another coat on that area, wait for it to dry, sand that smooth. And then if you're lucky, then you could do it. And sometimes you have to do that twice. So drips are very, very costly. Sags are very, very costly. And so we want to do everything in our power to minimize that, which means lots of practice. Thank you for your question. The right panner said, are you going to spray mud in lieu of by hand from here forward, or have you done it, or are you doing it currently? The plan is yes. You know, I'm a big theory guy. Like, I like to understand the concepts of the coatings that we're using. Why are we doing what we're doing? That's what we teach at ZKFS. It's concepts, because concepts can be, they're universal, and they can, when things change, we can apply the concepts that we know to a variety of situations rather than like very strict data memorization type of stuff. That doesn't give you much flexibility when things aren't going exactly as planned. But we like the concepts because it gives us the ability to understand and interpret what's happening to get where we're trying to go. You know, so the theory is we will spray the mud on instead of apply it. We can put on a heavier coat and it will go much quicker. So yes, my plan is to no longer roll mud on walls, but to spray it. But hey, it's a theory right now. Like it's pure theory. And probably at next, we may at next ZKFS class, actually, the next FP training class, I'll commit to that now. We will get some mud out and we will spray that wall you saw down there, our old TikTok wall. We will spray that with joint compound through the Mark V. Because that Mark V, we got to put that thing to work. Come on. It was built to work. I feel bad for that poor guy down there. He's not getting to work right now. But eventually, we will put him to work. We have, there's a fair amount of gloss work coming down the pipe. So, in fact, that's good. I'm going to use it on that. We just sold a gloss ceiling the other day. So, I think we're going to use it on that. But I'm really excited to try that. I'm excited to use a 531 tip. You got, everyone's all excited about these new 06 tips. I'm going to try a 31 size orifice. And that's, we like to goof around like that. We like to break things at school, at training, when we're talking about, you know, let's figure out the parameters. We're not taught that. When we work for paint contractors, when a new gallon of paint comes out, what do? Our boss gave it to us and said, put it on the wall, see what happens. We do not do that at ZK Painting. We try to take a much different approach to painting. And it is, all right, let's go break it. Let's go find the parameters that we're allowed to play in. What does too much thinner look like? What does not enough thinner look like? You know, what is too much pressure? What's not enough pressure? What's too much paint? What's not enough paint? Let's find our barriers, our parameters that we are allowed to play in. And then let's go to the middle and try to get the result that we're after. And then when we go to work, let's try to shoot for that middle, because now we know, our parameters are out here. But if you've never, I would encourage all of you to go take whatever trim paint you like most and go over thin it. Thin it, see what happens. Spray it out. What happens? Thin it some more. Spray it out. See what happens. Don't use white. Use like a dark color so you can actually see what's happening. But that's a good exercise to find out where can I, like, how far can I take this stuff before it breaks? And what does breaking look like? And all of these things are taking a more scientific, I would argue, professional approach to what we do. And unfortunately, in our industry, there's just not a lot of people. I was not taught, at least, let's just say that. I was not taught to take your time, spray out samples, do change tips, change pressures, change guns, change viscosity, all of those things. And let's see, and let's see, and let's see, and let's see, and let's analyze, and let's track as we get to a greater result. I was in, hey, take that gallon, hurry up, paint something, let's go. What are we talking about? And I think all of this weekend in ZKFS has been a, let's take a step above, let's look down, and let's look from above and not be in it all the time. Let's see where we're going and not just go someplace. You know, because that's not what was taught to me, at least. You know, Eric Reason, if he didn't patent it, he should have. But test, don't guess, man. What a great catchphrase, or what, I don't know, slogan or motto. That's a good word. You know, test, don't guess. That's what it's all about. We're professionals. Oh, I thought this might. So I'll get you guys are getting like all of ZKFS FPE training. You don't even need to come now. But when I teach the spraying, here's what I see. You guys are all gonna. I think every single person watching this that's ever sprayed paint has done this before. I think it's this weird glitch in our DNA, right? So we talk in terms of FPE high level. We just call it FPE gloss spray, but that's how you should spray everything. I believe is the goal is to put the same amount of paint on all surfaces, right? Same mil thickness on every surface. When you're spraying a black gloss, you better have done that, because otherwise you'll see the differences. But on the other side of black FPE gloss is white Scuff-X satin, right? That paint was designed to be applied easy. It's very, very forgiving, right? So what do? We walk up to a door casing. We spray out our door casing. Maybe we have a plan. Hopefully you have a plan. You spray out your door casing. Now, stop. Here's what happens. I've seen it so many times, I can't even begin to tell you. I've done it so many times. But I train all my people, don't you ever do it again. I hope no one that came to ZKFS ever does this again. But you spray out your casing, right? What do you do next? I wish I could stand up and do this, but you holding your gun, the casing's all sprayed, you're wearing a respirator, what do? You go, you peer at some edge. You peer someplace. I don't know. Where do we always go to the right? Do we always go to the left? Do we always look at the same thing? I don't know. But we go and we peer over at something, look at it, and every time we go, like, let me just hit some more paint on this one random spot, right? If you're working on putting the same amount of paint on every surface, the same mil thickness on the edge of the casing, the front of the casing, the side of the casing, on the whole casing, and I want to put 3 wet mils or 4 or 5 wet mils, right? Well, if I make a plan and I execute that plan to get 4 or 5 wet mils on that surface, what in the world makes me think I can go and somehow, if there was some random, like we had a guy who was spraying out a panel, a square, and his first pass he made it, but the second pass he didn't start pulling the trigger till 2 inches onto the square. And then he kept going and finished it. It's all black, right? But there's a different mil thickness on that little spot. And he wanted to go back and hit it again. But I said, like, do you think you have the ability to only paint? You think you can stop the trigger at exactly that spot that you had started it before and fill in that little tiny spray pattern that you had missed perfectly without getting a little extra paint on that section over here? Of course we can't. And if we are spraying to put the exact same amount of paint on all surfaces, we are trying to make a spray pattern. First thing we do, as you saw downstairs, we're going to make a spray pattern that is even, right? We're going to spray it on the wall. We're going to wait till it drips. We're going to watch the drips. We want to make sure that the drips are all running like this and not the one and two in the middle are sprinting down the middle and the sides are going slow, because that means there's more paint coming out in the middle of that spray pattern than the edges, and vice versa. If there's big drips on the edges and no drips in the middle, there's too much paint on the outside of that spray pattern. So we're going to do all those things to dial in our gun to get the equal amount of paint coming out of our gun. And then we're going to go apply our paint in a very methodical, I tell everyone, like, pretend like we're training a robot in a factory to spray 700 doors this way today. So that's how we want to spray. We want to spray in a very precise way where we are doing our best to apply the same amount of paint to every surface. So if we're doing that, the stakes are too high to try to go back and hit one more spot. If you dusted a spot, it's way better to have dusted a spot than to get a drip. Because what do we say? A drip in oil gloss is going to cost me $1,000 to fix on an entry door, approximately. A dusted spot is going to cost me like $200 or $300 to fix, right? The sanding is like a nothing. You just scuff and spray again, and you're done. The other one is you have to sand out this drip super delicately, not to heat it up and like melt the paint. Then you have to feather out another coat of paint on that area. You have to let that dry overnight. Then you have to come sand that down, and then you have to spray the door again. Much bigger deal. So the stakes are high with what we're doing. But it translates all to everything. We don't want to just willy-nilly spray things. We didn't go up to that casing and go, I'm just going to like willy-nilly spray it, right? No, we sprayed it very methodically. Like, okay, I'm going to take my overlap. I'm going to start 50 on, 50 off, and I'm going to hit the edges of my casing, right? Now I got my edge pretty good. Now maybe I hit the edge like this, right? The side of the casing. Then maybe I do one more like this, 45 at the corner. And then I go to the other inside edge and I hit that one. And then I face the whole thing off perfectly. You always face off at the end, right? Everyone knows that. I saw a guy the other day. I love him to death. I didn't even send him a message. But he was spraying out something. I'm not going to say anything too specific because it hurt my heart and I don't want to blow him up. But spraying out, I see this a decent amount. Spraying out flat panels of something, right? And then going back afterwards to spray the top edge of the wainscoting. Don't do that, folks. That is not best practice. Whether or not it affects it or not, it's not best practice, right? Because what matters the most to me on a sprayed finish is going to be the flat sections, right? When I deliver a door, if there's a couple of imperfections in a piece of molding on my door, that's neither here nor there. If there's a big divot or a orange peel section on one of my flats, that's a big deal. So we care about the flats more than we care about the details, right? If we had to pick one to be more important, we care about the flats. So we want to spray our flats last, right? Because we were taking, especially with an airless, right? We're taking 12, 1500, 2000 PSI of fluid and we're blasting it at a surface, right? So if I'm going to spray this remote and I spray the face of it like this with 2000 PSI, and then I come to this top edge. This is glass right now. And then I come up here and I spray this top edge after. 2000 PSI of turmoil is happening, blasting onto my glass. This was a sheet of glass after I sprayed it. But then I came up here at the top edge and I sprayed it afterwards, agitating and potentially ruining the finish or making it not as perfect. Right? So it costs $0 extra and zero more time to spray the top edge first and then spray my faces, right? These are the kind of things that my psychotic brain thinks about a lot, or used to think about a lot. It's just one of those things that we are trying to do the best we can with what we have. That's a Jessica Allred quote. I love her for that. But we're trying to do the best that we can. And So I can control certain things, and one of the things I can control is my how I approach spraying that panel or that remote control. And if it costs me, if we're going to sit here and play, have a thought exercise as to what is the best way to spray this thing, it's definitely going to be spraying the faces last. And a lot of you guys probably know this, but I don't know how I got to that topic. I'm definitely a little out of it. I think my wife is probably going to be here any minute. And I'm going to go have an awesome dinner with my mom and celebrate her 60th birthday. I hope everybody has a great night. I'm glad I was able to just get on here. And I missed being in front of the camera and having to look at my ugly mug. But boy, I sure don't miss talking, huh? I do enjoy hearing myself talk. no, I'm just kidding. But I hope this helps somebody. I know a lot of this information has come over lots of hard work and lots of time. So that's why I love the finishing school. I'm able to help other people save. I think everyone resoundingly has said that they've gotten a lot of value in it. And I believe they're saving. I know I would have saved, a lot of money. I don't even want to think about how much time and energy and resprays and mistakes I made that I could have not. DAP was there. I'm guessing a thumb, not this weekend, but he's came to one. I'm guessing he agrees with a thumbs up, but I think you can save a lot of time and energy by coming to the school. I hope so. That's my goal. Add a lot of value. Have a lot of fun. Our community is growing. Each class, we have more people in the group. Super exciting. Thanks for watching tonight. I will be back on Tuesday. Sharon. Sharon crushed. Did anybody see? There we go. Two guys giving us glowing. Sharon just did a piece of furniture that was phenomenal. And we were so happy to have her at ZK Finishing School. She was not a professional painter per se. It was not her full-time job. She didn't run a painting company. But she had a lot of passion for applying coatings. That's the bar to get into ZKFS, is have passion for applying coatings. And let me tell you, the gloss work that she did on that piece of furniture is no joke. DAP, thank you for the shout out. He said, great experience, unreal learning experience for anyone thinking about it. This guy's in my backyard. And, you know, now we're friends, and he came and I tried to share everything I possibly know, because it's good for all of us as the trade continues to get better. So I'm really grateful for all of you guys who are watching, everyone who's come to ZKFS and will continue to. We're going to keep getting better every day. My wife is here. We're going to go have fun with the family. Everybody have a great Sunday night. Tuesday we have one of the partners from Adams and Beasley coming on, who is like powerhouse, super professional, very impressive GC in Boston. And we're going to get to hear his story, see his approach. And I mean, these guys are one of the gold standards in a very competitive high-end market. So they... execution is huge. The Adams and Beasley team executes. Their company culture and their morale is amazing. When you meet the people who work for Adams and Beasley, it's like these guys have done something right. So I'm really excited to try to deconstruct some of his success, find out what it is that's the secret sauce at Adams and Beasley, and just get to know him. So thanks everybody for watching. We'll see you Tuesday night.